And the crowd said, KVD, KVD, KVD. And with me today is Kevin Van Dam. And Kevin, you just won another one, man.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking to me, too. I didn't expect it to practice or anything. But, I mean, I'm pretty proud of this one because I really, really took a chance after the practice that I had to try and have a really good tournament and try to win. And it worked out, so. Makes you feel good.
Well, I'm going to dissect some stuff with you here. We're going to talk about this thing and get in depth. I'm going to try to pick your brain a little bit. But number one, you had a flotilla of about 60 boats followed you everywhere you went. What a great fan base there and a lot of that stuff. But a lot of guys probably fished after you were there and some of those kind of things would get in the way. But how do you manage those 60 boats there? You're trying to fish a spot, trying to be able to concentrate, but then you also got to worry about people around you.
Well, to be honest with you, Terry, I'm pretty used to it. Our sport's growing, the exposure's there, all these, the TV shows with the Bassmasters and the websites that are covering it, there's more and more fishing fans, and especially when you go to an area like that, it's really known as a great bass lake, and there's a lot of bass fishermen around it, they're going to have a great fan turnout, and they want to see how the pros are going to break down their lake. And, they were following me in practice, believe it or not. So, the toughest thing is trying to get them to where, they're not getting on top of you and affecting the outcome of what you're doing while you're there. There's not much you can do to control if they come in after you leave and idle over the top of it and GPS it, or if they stop and fish, which, the majority of them don't, but there's always a handful that might. But while you're actually fishing the spot, it's critical to kind of keep them back. And again, they're not trying to affect you. So it's a lot of times it's a matter of talking to them or, just using a little hand motion. Say, hey, ease over this way. But as you approach a spot, you got to think how it plays out and how you need to fish it to keep, to keep people from floating on top of it or getting to your next spot if it's close to it, too. So there's quite a bit to it, but I'm used to it. I think for somebody who's never had to deal with it before, it might be a little overwhelming.
Well, and I can't imagine, number one, having 60 boats around you. You're a lot of people, I know Tommy Biffle's one. He just likes to run away from everybody if he can. But in this day and age, as you mentioned, the fan base is getting stronger. Grand Lake, what a great turnout at the Elite Series event. But, Kevin, it's got to play a little bit into the fish. The fish are used to hearing a lot of boat traffic, but idling around and over the top of them, some of that, it didn't seem like it mattered, though, because you just kept catching them.
Yeah, the big thing is the lake conditions. If the water's clear and the fish are deeper, they're a lot more affected by that boat traffic. Shallow water fish, especially in stained water, are not affected by them. And I was fortunate that the water was fairly dirty. I was fishing a lot of offshore structure and fishing that were a little bit deeper. And I'm sure that it makes a difference. But I think one thing that really helped me a lot this week is my biosonics unit running. I've got so much confidence in that. And a lot of times, not only does it help activate the bass, but when you finally do catch one, I think it keeps the school excited for a longer period, allows you to catch a few more fish out of it. So, there's a lot of things, but the bottom line is when it comes down to it, if you got things that break your confidence, like having a bunch of spectators by you, that's going to hurt your performance, and I don't allow that. You can't worry about variables that you can't control. I try to do everything I can to control the variables that are in front of me, but I can't worry about what a spectator's going to do after I leave a spot, or what another competitor is going to do if he's sitting on one of my spots. All I can do is worry about what I can control.
Well, you're probably a master at that. I've been telling everybody, everybody wants to compare you to Tiger Woods, and I like comparing you to Michael Jordan because I think, he knew how to turn the button on and how to turn it off. And we saw on day three, after Jeff Creek caught that great big 24-11 bag, you were a lot more quiet in the interviews we had with you and some of that kind of stuff, but that means you're focused and you're really going to go out there and catch them. And we all kind of laughed here at Bass Fan. We said, uh-oh, Kevin's going to win this thing. And you did. You went out there, you stayed focused and went out and caught them, but Does the whole idea of coming from behind a little bit kind of intrigue you? You we're in second place coming in the last day.
You always want to be in the lead. You don't want to be behind ever, but I knew that, you know, when it was as close as it was less than a pound, and that Jeff had, you know, such a good day on day three that I was going to have to really catch him that final day. But I caught him really good the first 2 days, and I was confident in what I was doing and the places that I had to fish, and I knew that I had to stay focused and fish 110% from start to finish to have a chance to win, and I knew I'd have to get a good, you know, I'm just flat going to have to catch a good bag, so that's how I approached it.
Well, you've got, you know, a new crankbait for Strike King that you've designed and that you've got a color combination that you like, and you caught your fish on it, or you caught a large portion of your fish on it. Now, iCast is coming up soon. I'm sure you probably got something written in your contract that, you know, all these sales now are going to go through the ceiling. I want you to have that money, man. I think that's really cool.
Well, you know, it's really just a color. I mean, I caught every single fish in this tournament on a Strike King Series 5 or a Series 6 in that color we call Sexy Shad. It's one that I developed for them, and it's just a real pretty natural looking shad pattern, and it's the same crankbait that I won at Gunnersville with, you know, and same color and everything. So we've got really good baits, and you know, they're so good about letting all of us pros work on, you know, really doing the little things to a bait, you know, like Denny Brower and his jig. You know, I mean, there's a lot of thought that goes into it to make that jig so it's perfect. And what that builds for us is when we know that think that bait is exactly the best that it can be, it brings us a lot of confidence. And, you know, if it works for us, you know, it's going to work for the weekend anglers too. So that's what I really like about Strike King. And that's probably the thing that we're working on the most right now is coming up with the colors and stuff that we really need to have in our arsenal. I mean, you don't want to get too caught up in things like that, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of times when it really makes a difference.
Well, it's made a difference in two tournaments, that's for sure, and you know, you've caught them so well. You know, Kevin, I look back, and it's almost hard to fathom the idea that you can continually improve, and I you know, I've had the opportunity to be around you a lot and talk to you a lot, but it seems like you just continue to get better. How hard do you work at that?
Well, you always want to, you know. I mean, that's what I think any professional in any sport wants to do, is you want to, you know, be better than your last time on the field or your last time in the game. And, you know, when you have a bad tournament or a tough tournament or things didn't go quite right, you want to learn from that. And, you know, that's what I always try to do. So, you know, you have to absolutely love your job to want to work at it like the way I work at it. And I'll tell you, there's a bunch of pros out there that are that passionate about it. It's so competitive. It's so much tougher now than it was even 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, these guys continually getting better. They're working harder. Technology's improving. It's hard to win these things, so I mean, I appreciate what I've been able to do.
Well, you've got, you know, you mentioned a great bunch of anglers there, but you know, there's a few that you used to fish against that are missing maybe a little bit. Is that something, would you like those guys to come back and be part of this thing, you know, the Mark Davises, the Jay Ellises, or does that really not matter?
Well, they're great anglers, without a doubt, and, you know, they made a choice to fish in the FLW Tour, and I think Mark and I think several of them are trying to requalify to come back to the Elite Series and compete. What I like about the Elite Series is that it is a little smaller field. The level of competition to me is the highest there is in the sport. I think there's, you know, it's a great group of anglers. Not to say that there's not a bunch of great anglers in FLW also, but it's a different fraternity when you have 100 guys. And there's a level of sportsmanship there that you don't see in those other tours where you have a field of 200 or 300 guys. And you know, there's a lot of respect among the guys that's something that I really appreciate about competing in the Elite Series.
Well, Kevin, I got to tell you, and I'm going to let you in on a secret. Now, this is the final parting shot here. Thursday, Mark Zona and I are going to talk about Kevin Van Dam through his eyes. So be ready for a podcast on Thursday, And it's going to be Zona now. I'm just going to ask the questions. He's going to be the one that gives me the input. So when you have that 4th of July cookout, make sure you can get even there, okay?
Yeah. I got to be careful what I do, huh?
Well, it's going to be fun. It's, you know, it's kind of a Kevin Van Dam perspective through his eyes. And, you know, he and I talk about you quite a bit about, you know, just how well you're doing and, you know, what you're bringing to the sport and some of those kind of things. But I'm going to ask him some, you know, inside questions as well. You think that's all right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Mark and I talk a lot, and good at what he does because he's a good fisherman and he understands what we have to go through on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, I think Mark is a huge asset to the television show, and he brings a lot of insight that nobody else could bring. So it's always interesting to hear what he's got to say because you never know what's coming out of his mouth.
Well, he's sure. Very, very funny, but you're right. He is a hammer. You can catch him, and that's really, really critical. Well, Kevin,
I'll say this, though, Terry. One last thing.
All right.
Is that I would like some time to come on and give you my insight about Mark Zona.
Well, that's fair. I think that's fair. I'll give you that time. I'll give you that time. And matter of fact, we'll do that.
Know that I'm, before he talks about, did I get to talk about him, too? I will tell him about the real Mark Zona.
I will tell him that in the very beginning of the interview. Now, what will happen, he may taper off of some of his comments, you know, because we've already got him.
Yeah, that's I guarantee you he will.
Well, Kevin, congratulations on a great win. You just keep smoking them. You're everybody's hero out there, and thanks for being with us here at Bass Fan Radio.
Appreciate it, Terry.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.